And that's sort of what like drew me to him. I was like, there's something about watching this guy perform that makes me want to find out more. This guy's funny. And I think in some way he appreciated that. I saw that in him. And we just struck up this friendship.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dustin Richardson from the Burbank International Film Festival, and you're watching Real Conversations. Today's special guest is Greg Sestero. Greg is an actor, filmmaker, and author. He is best known for his role as Mark in the cult film The Room, and as the author of The Disaster Artist, which was adapted into a fantastic film that tells the true story behind the making of The Room. Greg also has a new movie out called Miracle Valley, which he directed, wrote, and stars in. So, let's get right to it! Oh, hi, Greg!
Oh, hi, Dustin. What's new with you?
Yeah, nothing much. You know, I had to say that or we'd disappoint the fans. How you been?
Good. I was on the road for almost 2 months, pretty much going everywhere you could think of, meeting a lot of great people. And I think one of the best parts of making movies, telling stories, writing, is that it introduces you to so many characters and people out there that, you know, think so much like you, but you would never get the chance to meet people around the world. And so that was a real blessing, getting to travel and show the new movie. It doesn't come out until August. Getting a chance to get a feel for it and what people think of it was really great. I mean, a lot of times people will say, oh, it must be tiring, it must be this. And to me, it's funny. It's almost like when you take your foot off the gas and you sit, that's when you get tired, because your mind will adapt to what you're feeling and what you're doing. And if you're giving yourself like an adventure each day, you're excited for the next day and the next day, and you're challenged and you're like flooded with all these new memories. But if you just kind of sit back and like have nothing to do, to me, that's when I feel like something's wrong. So it was a really cool experience just getting out there this year, especially after the lockdowns and all that, to get out and be with an audience, show your film, talk to people. It was great. You also obviously need to rest. You know, it was really a great tour.
That's awesome. People really like the film then, huh?
Yeah, it's got some comedy in it, which I didn't fully see. You know, I knew there were some absurd moments, but I wasn't quite sure how it would play with the crowd until you show it. And there's a lot of audience participation, a lot of laughs. So that was, it seems to be my forte, is to be part of movies that audiences respond to and collaborate with.
Tell me a little bit more about this. So it's called Miracle Valley and it's a horror mystery. What exactly is the film about and what was the process like of filming it?
So I, I'd worked many years on what The Room was going to be in the book and sort of working with that experience to tell a story that you're at peace with. And so once I did that, I thought, hey, I want to get back into movies. That's the whole reason I wanted to get into acting in the first place, is I love telling stories. So I thought, what a great chance to move to the middle of nowhere and just get lost and try to write a script and then make the movie in that environment. So I had this cool hookup where I got invited down to live in this area and kind of study the locations and the history, and ended up writing a screenplay about this cult that's set in that valley. It was cool because I got to kind of look around and see what was there, what was available, and then write the script based on those strengths. So I didn't go and just write a script and be like, oh shoot, now we got to go make that come to life. So it was kind of writing the story backwards in a way where you already knew what you had, and then it was fitting into that. So we ended up making the movie, finishing it just as the pandemic happened. A lot of times we'll sit back and wait and be like, maybe next year, maybe next, our DP was like, hey, let's maybe wait till spring of 2020, take our time, really think about it. I'm like, you know, you're never going to be fully ready to make a film. Everyone's engaged now. Let's just do it. There's going to be bumps in the road. Can live with that. Let's just move forward and do it. And had we waited, we would have never been able to make the movie.
This was your first time directing, right?
Yeah, it was one of those things where I lived in the environment. I wrote the script. I spent, you know, a lot of time soaking it in and seeing these scenes happen, you know, while being in that environment. So I thought, if I'm ever going to do the writing, directing, starring, this is the one to do it.
That must have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was definitely a big challenge, because no matter how hard you prepare for filmmaking, for film sets, stuff always happens to go wrong or starts late, or, you know, there's some sort of challenge in there, roadblock. But yeah, it was overall, it was really fun. We shot on Arri. We did a lot of handheld settings. And it was great. It was a throwback to, you know, the 70s Texas Chainsaw Massacre and all that.
And you said it comes out August. Will that be like in some theaters, or is it coming to streaming?
There'll be some theatrical screenings. There'll be a also some streaming sites and stuff. So, but it's a movie I definitely think pops more with the crowd. So hopefully people get a chance to experience that.
Awesome. I did want to ask, because you kind of mentioned this earlier, that you're working on some other projects. And I saw on your IMDb that you'll be directing another film called Forbidden Sky, right? And you're starring in another film with Tommy Wiseau called Big Shark. Is there anything you can tell us about that, or is it too early?
Oh, so yeah, I've been really into the UFO culture. And when I was living down in Arizona, and I took a UFO night tour and got really obsessed with that. And so I wrote a script that I am going to be scouting at the Roswell 75th anniversary crash festival this weekend, actually. So yeah, doing a lot of research, and the script is a lot of fun. It's totally wacky. Kind of ties into a lot of movies I loved in the 80s and 90s about what we think about UFOs and the contradictions of believing and not believing. So I'm going to be working on that next. And then the Shark trailer, that's just a trailer. At this point, it's not a real, it's just kind of an aspirational trailer.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, any filmmaker out there, we live in a great time where you can go out and make things and try a lot, take risks. And, you know, those are the projects that keep us going when filmmakers take risks. So best of luck to everyone out there trying to do it.
Obviously, we got to talk about The Room. Something that amazes me about the whole story, about everything that went on around The Room, is the layers of this story. How not only was there The Room, the film, but then came the book, The Disaster Artist, which you wrote, and then ultimately the film, The Disaster Artist, which is fantastic. So let's start with The Room, which is one day to be considered the greatest bad movie ever made. You've even said that yourself. And I'd just love to hear if you could bring us back there for a moment and share a little bit about how you and Tommy first met and your perspective on the process of making that film.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting dynamic, because we both were at such different points in our lives, technically, but we were both at the exact same point, sort of wanting to go after something that we knew we wanted, and that if we didn't jump on it, maybe it would pass by. And so even though we were at different ages, different points, I kind of saw that in him. I thought he was extremely entertaining in a very offbeat way. And that's sort of what like drew me to him. I was like, there's something about watching this guy perform that makes me want to find out more. That was the whole reason that I went up to him. I wasn't like premeditated. It was just like, this guy's funny. And I think in some way he appreciated that I saw that in him. And we just struck up this friendship over, you know, our love of just acting and the comedy of it. I think it was funny. He loved to try random things that I was willing to do, go to the field and play soccer and hang out and like go on road trips, just stuff that, you know, we lose touch with as we get more focused on the future. So it just sort of hit. And then I think we connected like, hey, it's now or never. We gotta go after this. There's something here. And that's sort of what he supported. He's like, if you want to go to LA, I have a place. You can rent it from me. It's empty. Go take a shot.
That's amazing. And you met initially in the acting class, correct?
Yeah, that's where we first met. We did a scene together. And then it was like, became less about the scene. It became more about just getting out there and seeing what we could make happen.
And then what was the process like of filming it?
So The Room was like, it started filming. It's funny. I found photos from 20 years ago, sleeveless red shirt working out just randomly. And then here is like 2 months later, I'd be filming in that shirt on the rooftop. And then, you know, 14 years later, that red shirt would be at the Arclight in Hollywood, featured up on a display. It's just one of those things where you just don't know where things are going to go. And that's sort of the beauty of life and filmmaking, and is like, you know, keeping your eye out for the things that could happen, that we seem so focused on wanting this or that, or this is the way to go. But sometimes the path that is best for you is right in front of you and you just don't see it. The magic is happening and you're too focused on wanting something else. So it's really important to be in tune of everything that's going on, be present. And so when we made the room, it was just one of those things where every day was an unreal experience. You know, everything that could go wrong went wrong, and watching Tommy, you know, try to fit in with a normal crowd was just pure comedy. And that's what the movie ended up being, really. When you look at it, you know, anytime you show it, there's a reaction every scene. There's so much laughter and so much interaction because it is like an incredibly hilarious film that, you know, was not trying to be.
How long did it take Tommy to kind of accept that for a fact? Because he really wanted it to be a drama.
You know what happens with movies where we have a vision in our mind that maybe doesn't always translate?
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to say. I mean, if I was in that position, I know when we showed Miracle Valley, there were scenes that got, you know, a lot of laughs that I didn't see. And I was like, oh, that's cool. What's, you know, I'm very like pragmatic, but I'm like, oh, cool. Okay, that's funny. Okay, that scene maybe that came off awkward, whatever. But I think with Tommy, he's, you know, has his own way of dealing with it.
A lot of people just love to come out and see this still. I mean, I believe you and Tommy were kind of touring it around last year, weren't you, a little bit?
I had done some screenings, but with the whole pandemic thing, we didn't do much. But it still screens around the world.
How did you feel when the film was originally released? Like, what was your first thoughts of it?
Well, it came out yesterday, 19 years ago. That was the premiere.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, 19 years ago. And I mean, it's like anything. You can't expect. You have no idea what, you know, anything could come of it. It had no chance, you know, in my eyes at that point. And it was just something that was sort of a relief when it was done. It's like we survived it. It exists. And now you can kind of move on. And then that's sort of the beauty of it, is it's stuck around. And people, the word of mouth, the passion people had for it kept it alive, you know, for years.
Let's move forward in time to when you write the book, The Disaster Artist, and then which does very well. And I'd just like to know, how did that book, like, what was the beginnings of this book? Was it your original idea to just go for it? Or how did writing down these experiences come together?
I just knew that when I'd gone to screenings, how much people love the movie and their thirst for what, you know, what else was there. I knew the story behind the making of the movie could make its own great movie. And so I kind of set out to write a book that could become a film.
Awesome.
And, you know, and so I just saw these two characters and I focused, you know, tried to focus the story about, you know, the friendship and, you know, that's what we just set out to do, is to have it become a film.
Did you expect then for it to become as popular as it did, the book?
I knew we'd worked with a really good publisher and we'd gotten some feedback and people really liked it. But again, you never know if people are, you know, going to spend the time to read it and how they're going to connect to it. But, you know, 3 weeks after the book came out, you know, Seth Rogen and James Franco reached out. They're reading the book on the set of The Interview and they're like, we got to do something with this. You know, it's a very inspiring story. It's a crazy Hollywood story. And so it happened pretty quick. And, you know, people still love the book. It's published in Poland. It's published in the UK and Australia. So it's just one of those things that it's brought, you know, a lot of laughs and a lot of inspiration to people. And that's all you can really hope to do with your work.
Yes. I got to ask, because I've never talked to someone who has had a movie made about themselves. What was it like seeing the film and seeing someone portray you and everything that came together to make that film? That must have been an amazing experience to see for the first time.
Yeah, I think what was cool is because I always imagined it as a movie, you know, I pictured like Ryan Gosling and Javier Bardem in the role. I'd always foreseen actors doing these parts. But you can never prepare yourself when you're actually there on set, you know, watching these scenes play out from your life. I think it's something that I found very therapeutic, you know, very rewarding.
That's great. Well, what did you think of Dave Franco playing yourself? Was that cool? Did you like that?
Yeah, no, he was great. And he really, it's awesome. He didn't know about the room until like the book. And he's like, what the hell? Like, so the whole thing was a really great experience.
That's awesome. Yeah, he does a great, both of them do a great job.
I was going to say, how did you find out about the room?
Oh, cool. Go ahead, interview me. That's great.
How did you first find out about it?
I first found out about it through some friends in college. And then when I saw the Disaster Artist trailer come out, I was like, I gotta see that. It looks great. During the pandemic, I found it on Netflix and I watched it. Now I've watched it several times over the course of the pandemic and absolutely loved the story. The main thing that brought me into it was the film The Disaster Artist. Getting to see it that way first, I think, was really special, like you said, to really see the focus of the friendship. And like you said, it's comedic, but it's also got some drama in there. It's just a really fun, inspirational story that anytime I turn it on, it makes me happy. You know, I laugh, I smile. Very sweet ending, too. I really like how they portray the ending with you, fictional you, talking Tommy down. And that whole moment, it's just amazing in the theater. I love how that was done, which I believe I read wasn't necessarily true to life exactly.
No, not in that way. Anytime they adapt a story, it's like you try to put together as much, you know, scenes as possible to tell whatever, you know, tell the story.
Yeah, of course. It was pretty faithful to the book, though, right? Would you say so?
Yeah, I mean, there are a few things. Obviously, it's, you know, the book is, there's a lot there, so you can't tell the whole story. I thought it was, in spirit, I thought it was good.
Something that's so, of course, entertaining in the film is seeing all the scenes being shot and watching the crew trying to figure out what's going on, and you, as Dave Branko, struggling with where's this headed? Did the actual real crew of The Room and other cast members, did they see The Disaster Artist or read the book, or what were their thoughts about what this all became?
We're all probably pretty surprised. I think the book, which was great, they really enjoyed it and got a lot of good laughs out of it. So I think everyone was very supportive, and it's one of those things, you go through a crazy life experience and you, it's great that you go through it with a group of people that are supportive.
I'm glad to hear that, because poor Seth Rogen's character, it's Sammy, right? He's so losing his mind throughout that movie. I love the part when he goes to the bank. All the different elements throughout that film, so much fun seeing everybody's perspective. But it's mostly through Greg's point of view, which is cool too. I like that it took that direction, because you got to feel as an audience member that you're on your shoulder, experience everything from your initial dream to finding the billboard. I love that part. When he looks out the car, he's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Since you were an author and obviously experienced this, how much control creatively did you have with the film, or was it mostly the Franco brothers?
I was just more supportive. Like, I didn't think, you know, if they needed something or had questions, I was just more there to help, you know.
Cool.
I figure you pass off the story to the right team, let them do their thing and tell their story. I do little things, you know, just helping them, you know, support their version of the movie they wanted to make.
And how is Tommy? Has he been doing well?
Yeah, I think everything you'd expect.
Everything I expect. Great. That's good. Yeah, I see. He likes to post a lot of stuff on Twitter and things. It's cool. You're both very positive guys, sharing your work and talking about life and stuff. It's cool. Tommy's Planet. Before we go, I was wondering, since you do such a great impersonation of Tommy, would you mind giving us a little dose?
Yeah, no problem. Look, if you want to be a filmmaker, you know, go out and make project. You know, talk is talk. And our filmmaker, don't think about 100 first, think about 20.
Awesome. That's great, man.
All right, everyone, make sure to check out Miracle Valley, which is coming soon. And if you haven't already, you can read or watch The Disaster Artist anytime to learn more about Greg and Tommy's unique friendship. And learn everything you need to know about the festival at burbankfilmfest.org.